Jesus, please come into my heart and be my Savior. I want you to sit on the throne of my heart. Please bless my worship. I invite you to be seated and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Our sermon today is entitled Faith Over Fear. You will understand the meaning of that more clearly as we move forward in our experience today. It is Mother's Day weekend, and we want to honor mothers. About 5-6 years ago, I had the mothers of the congregation stand, and we applauded them. And it was pointed out to me that there are always in a group some women who want to be mothers and are not, and so that is offensive to them. It enhances their pain. I am kind. I want to be kind, and I do not want to offend anyone, but I do want to honor mothers. So here's what we're going to do. If anyone here had a mother, please stand. Let's give our mothers a round of applause. All right, you may be seated. We will be inviting the mothers up in a few moments, and we will celebrate them, we will pray for them, and we have a gift for them as well. We're on a journey as Christians. The journey is from where we're at to getting to heaven. And that journey will have distractions along the way. And those distractions oftentimes will create fear. We won't know what to do. We won't know how to respond. Just recently, my daughter, Hannah, was taking her children to school. Now her children, Connor and Brianna, dearly love school. They like being in school. They like their teachers. They like the students. They like the program. I pick them up every afternoon, and they don't even want to leave the school. They like to stay in the playground and play. They are all in on school. So for them, going to school is a wonderful thing. And they work hard to get ready on time in the morning. They don't want to be late. They don't want to miss a thing at school. In Hannah's household, her husband, Mickey, is the one who generally takes the children to school. So each have a routine. You know how it is. We have a routine. We go through it quickly, subconsciously. We're clicking off things, get in the car, and we head out. Hannah, normally to work. Mickey taking the children to school. On this particular day, Hannah was taking the children to school, and she got a phone call. So she's on the cell phone. There's something that happens to children the minute their mother gets on a cell phone. They want mom's attention, or they use it as an opportunity to squabble. They just become unglued in some ways. Well, Hannah is a supervisor at her work, and there was something going on, and she's trying to focus on that. And the more she focuses on that, the louder the children are getting. They're obviously agitated about something, and they want her attention, and she's trying to focus on this phone call and the counsels that she has to give to the circumstance that is being related to her. So she's doing the mother thing. She's signaling to them. All mothers know sign language. She's trying to get those kids quiet. They won't be quiet. Finally, she does what all mothers do. She finds a threat that sinks in and they stop. They're quiet. She looks in the rearview mirror at her daughter, Brianna. Brianna is sitting there with her arms crossed and a look on her face of disgust. Connor, seated over on the other side, he has a look of resignation, like, what are you going to do? When the phone call finished, Hannah realized she was just a few minutes from work. The kids had been trying to tell her, you're taking us to work instead of to school. So turn around, recalculate, school, late for school, turn around, recalculate, late for work. It happens, doesn't it? We're on a journey. And distractions come. In this Christian journey that we're on, the distractions many times are opportunities for the enemy of our souls to get us to focus on the distraction, to get us to concentrate on the problem. And as we move our eyes and our attention away from God, our faith naturally will diminish. Our fears naturally will increase. Our doubts can become very real. And so today, we want to talk about the journey we're on and how to keep faith over fear. Now, this will apply to everyone that is here. And we will certainly have an element that mothers will relate to very much. But it applies to all of us. The verse we're studying is chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1. It says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It seems simple enough, but yet this is an odd verse. What does it really mean? I'd like to study that today with you and see if we can apply it to our lives. Faith is the substance. That word is hypostasis in the Greek. It means a support system, the setting under. The foundation of your house would be a hypostasis, something that is solid, something you can build on. Something you can have confidence with. Faith is the substance, the essence. Faith is the assurance. Faith is the confidence. Faith is the confidence, assurance, essence of things hoped for. Wow. Things hoped for are things that have not been realized. Faith is the essence of things hoped for. Today's English version puts it this way, to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. Faith is embracing something we're hoping for. Faith is believing we have it, even if we don't see it. The rest of the chapter is a list of people who had nothing but the promises of God to put their faith in. There was no visible evidence that the promises would ever be fulfilled in their lives. But they had faith in those promises. Verse 13 of that chapter, it says, these all died in faith. That is a wonderful thing. That is a powerful testimony to any believer that is journeying from here to heaven, to die in faith. But notice this, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The promise that is specifically being spoken of here is a better place. The promise of an eternity with God. Heaven, if you will. In this context, that's the big one. Everything else backs off from there. They didn't realize that. They didn't see it. But they held on to that promise as they journeyed in life. The whole course of their lives was believing God's promises. Let's hit pause. Believing God's promises. It was a couple weeks ago, one of the members of our church walked out, and they greeted me as I was standing by the door. And they said, "We have an identity crisis." And I asked this woman what she meant by that. And she said, "We simply don't know our identity in the Lord. We don't understand how much He loves us. It's an identity crisis." And I said, "I'm stealing that from you, and I'm not going to give you credit. It may be a whole sermon at some point. I'll just have to change the title now." The identity crisis is, do we believe God or not? Do we believe His promises or not? Is God who He says He is, or is He not who He says He is? And our identity crisis in this conversation with this woman is that we really don't understand how valuable and important we are to God. Nor do we understand as parents how valuable and important our children are to God. Collectively, all of us together, if we could pool our concerns for our children, put them in some type of container, that container would not even begin to measure God's concern for our children. And we must believe He is for them and not against them. And so as we journey as parents through life, faith is a promise related to the future and acting as if it were present. These people took God at His word and directed their lives accordingly. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1 again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to our hopes. Things which have no existence as yet become real and substantial by the exercise of faith. So let's apply this in a practical way. How many of you believe God wants your children saved? How many of you believe He is working towards that in their lives? Faith, according to this passage, would say, we believe it to be true, and we live with the joy and the hope of the fulfillment of that promise in our children's lives. God is not willing that any should perish. Do you believe that? And God is working to answer your prayers. Do you believe that? And we must live in faith, believing that, seeing our children walking with the Lord. Even if it happens after we're lying in state, but believing it as we walk through life now. This gives us courage. This gives us a proper disposition and attitude as we move forward. One author said this, faith is the title deed of things hoped for. Wow. Got it. The title deed of things hoped for. Faith towards God today is living in the fulfillment of His promises for the future. Faith is the essence of things hoped for. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the confidence of things hoped for. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. I'd like for you to look at Hebrews 10, verse 39, talking about people on a journey. It says, "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition," that means to destruction, "but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." We come to chapter 11, verse 15. It says, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return." Talking about Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Sarah, those people that are mentioned just before verse 15, they could have turned back. They could have turned back. Chapter 10, verse 39 talks about people who turn back. They draw back. Earlier in the book of Hebrews, it describes the Hebrews that come out of Egypt and they turn back in their hearts. They never leave Egypt. At one point, they get a group together to kill Moses and Aaron and establish a new leader that will take them back. In this journey, the fight is to keep faith, is to keep believing and keep moving forward toward heaven. And everything in the world is going to be in opposition to your journey. There will be unexpected things that happen. There will be events that will challenge your faith. Things will come, you will not know what to do. And during those times, the Bible has given us a prescription of what to do to keep our faith. I want to show you a couple verses. Turn to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 4. How to keep our faith. How to have faith over fear. The enemy of our souls wants us to live in fear. He wants us to be so wrought up in fear, we forget about God. Psalm 34, verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me." Please read this last part out loud with me. Ready? "And delivered me from all my fears." That's what God does. And only God can do this. And here's how He does it. We back up to verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times." That means seek to be a blessing. It also means to honor the Lord at all times. "His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Here I am driving down the road, and this happens. I will praise God. It will keep Him fresh in my mind, who He is, what He's like. We had an incident during the second service today. The ministry of music. Abner and the ladies were standing here. They could not get the computer to play the background music. Abner said, "Let's do it a cappella." Sherry Bryant said, "No." And so they stood there. We waited. Jim, what, 4 minutes? 3-4 minutes. congregation just staring at them and them staring back. And I got up and I said, now, do we want to continue staring at them? Shall we move on? And I said, I'm kind of enjoying the colors flashing through their faces as they stand there. And then it was decided, well, we better move on and we'll skip our closing song. They could come back, sing the closing song. Or their music would be the closing song. So they came. And the computer still wouldn't work, but they knew it when they walked up on the stage. And Sherry, who did not want to sing without the music, her part began first. She had to be pitch on or everything's over because they're singing four-part harmony. Jenica, you're a musician. What happened? She nailed it. That is faith over fear. Praising God and moving forward in the midst of something that is wrong, not working right. It went on to, the text goes on to say in verse 2, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. Have you boasted in the Lord lately? It's so wonderful. Our boast is not in us. I'm a wonderful parent. I'm an awful parent. The boast is to be in the Lord. So as life comes at us, we learn to seek to bless God. We learn to praise Him continually with our mouth. Even if my heart isn't in it, my heart will catch up. The brain is wired in such a way it does not know the source of the information coming to it. If you say continually what a rotten person you are, your brain's thinking that's coming from an authority. If you talk faith when you don't have faith, your brain considers that coming from an authority. You will begin to have faith. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. They know. They know the journey. They know the struggle. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. How big is your God? Oh, that you had a friend. Oh, that you had a spouse. Oh, that you had someone that could magnify the Lord with you. Someone who could encourage you. Look, I know this is dark. I know this is difficult. I know you don't know what to do. I know fear is rolling over you like a powerful thunderstorm. But think about God, who this wonderful God is, how big He is, how powerful He is, and His promises are real. Magnify the Lord with me. And what happens? I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That's the process. Nowhere in the Scripture have I found where we will not have fears. And nowhere in the Scripture have I found where mothers will ever stop fearing for their children. It doesn't matter whether they're one day old or whether they're full-grown adults with children and grandchildren of their own. Mothers will have fears regarding their children. But this text is telling us those fears will not control the heart. Faith is the essence, the foundation of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Dine on the faithfulness of God. Restore your soul on the faithfulness of God. Let His faithfulness be the nutrition of your heart. Recall His faithfulness in your life. Maybe talk to somebody. Share with somebody. But by all means, think about God and how He has been in your life. Can anybody here sincerely and honestly say God has been unfaithful to you? I think we can all say things haven't always gone the way we hoped it would. Things haven't always gone the way we hoped God would work things out. But in the end, we realize there was a blessing unexpected to us. There was a lesson unexpected to us. And God has always always been faithful. Feed on that. Delight yourself in the Lord. Now, when fear is rolling over the soul like a tornado, sounding like a train, crashing through your life and seemingly spewing damage everywhere, delight yourself in the Lord. Wow, that's a decision. You see that? That's a choice. That's where you're going to focus. That's where you're going to look. And He shall give you the desires of your heart. So we trust, we feed, we delight. One more passage, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. We read this. Fear not. In fact, we're going to read this out loud together. This is God's word for each of us here today. Ready? Let's read it. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear not. Why? God says, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. Why? Because He is our God. And He says He will give strength. He says He will help. He says He will hold us up with His own hand. That's where God wants us to be in our faith. The journey is real. The journey is hard. But the journey can be one of faith over fear. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. I'd like you to read this out loud with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Every mother here knows the struggle of having faith over fear. You love your children, regardless of the age, and you can't stop from fearing for them. However, mothers, you do not, under any circumstances, according to God's word, have to be controlled by fear. You can be filled with faith and have a joy in the fulfillment of the hope that you have for your children that you're embracing by faith. Today, we want to honor our mothers, And we have several ways we're going to do that. One is we're going to invite all the mothers that are able to come and stand up here with us, to stand here. So Pastor Stephanie, if you could come and be the first mother to welcome the others. She's the only one on staff that qualifies for this job. So we will celebrate you, then we will pray for you, then we have a gift for you. And the gift is a bookmark that says, Faith Over Fear. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, Psalm 56, verse 3. And then also, these ladies are people of faith. I didn't invite you up yet, but that's all right. Come on, I can't send you back now. I wanted to explain something first. We have not only a bookmark for you, but building on Jesus' comments about a faith as small as a mustard seed being able to move mountains, we have a seed here for you. This is a morning glory. And so you look up online how to take care of a morning glory, okay? And then you have the bookmark to use in your favorite religious book or the scriptures, however you want to use it. Faith over fear. You are looking right now, look on the stage, on the floor in front of the stage. You're looking at the hands and the heart of God on planet Earth. Let's give them a round of applause. Ladies, we want to thank you for what you represent. The most noble qualities of humanity are represented by you. We thank you for the sacrifices that you have made for your children and for your family. We thank you for the depth of your caring. We thank you for your relentless love and your unwillingness to ever give up on your children. We thank you for all that. And we want to help you by giving you this little gift, a reminder to have faith over fear. And before we dismiss you, I'm going to invite everyone to stand, and we're going to have prayer for these dear women. Father in heaven, we pray for these women. We thank you for them. We thank you for all that they represent as mothers in your kingdom. And we're asking, Lord, that you would bless them beyond their greatest expectations. We are praying that this very week, something will happen in their children's lives that indicate you are working in their children's lives. Give these ladies, I pray, a hope that is strong. Give them evidence of your love for their children and for them. And I pray, Lord, that their life will be a life lived of faith over fear. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.